Golden West, Season 1, Episode 8. Letting Jax drive the wagon was the best decision Reginald could have made. The boy had done nothing but talk and complain non-stop since leaving St. Louis. The only time the boy's mouth stopped was when he slept. He even talked while he ate. If Reginald had any doubt that getting the boys out of their situation was good for them, this was validation. Jax had spent most of his time sulking and complaining. At least now he mixed in a good dose of stories of him and his brother. Reginald, on the other hand, spent as much time as he could getting the engine in order. They'd need to stop at some point to switch out the wheels, but he was confident that they had all the parts they needed. If not, he should be able to improvise something. There had to be a supply depot or something along their path. It couldn't just be endless plains all the way to the mountains. He'd chosen to take on the Rockies. It was early enough in the season that the passes should be clear of snow. Unless a snowstorm hit while they were traversing the mountain passes, everything should just be fine. Even if a storm did hit, they'd be able to use the heat from the engine to keep warm and cook any game that they'd catch along the way. If they were lucky, they'd bag a buffalo, and that would feed them for a good long time and give them a hide to trade for other things they might need. Being on the road felt amazing. No boss telling him what to do, no schedule. The only worries he had were when to eat and when to sleep. If he didn't have this driving need to ruin Cecil's plans for a new life in California, he might just settle down and enjoy life for a while. He didn't think it could be so good. "What's that do?" Jess pointed to a mass of gears. "That's the internal workings of the engine. I need to get these gears all lined up so they'll turn smoothly. Then I can attach this drive shaft to the rotor on the boiler, and it will turn. We've got us a good horse. What do we need some fancy clock for? We're going fast enough. You just don't like my driving, do you?" "Jax, your driving is just fine as long as you keep your eyes ahead of us. Please don't hit any big holes that will disturb my work. Once this is done, we'll be moving along much faster than we are now, I assure you of that." "Me and Jess never needed to move too fast. We just like to take it easy." "You mean like when you ran to my cart carrying those bags?" Reginald pointed his wrench to the bags the boys had dumped into the cart the day they'd left town and still hadn't opened. Jax shrugged. "That was something important." "Well, getting to California is something important to me. So if you don't mind, I'll get back to work on this, and we'll be better off sooner rather than later." Jax snorted. It was Jess's turn to shrug. "Anything I can do but sit here and watch?" Reginald pointed to the head cover. "Place that on top of here and line up the holes. Then take these bolts and fasten it all down tight. When that's done, we'll see what we've got to do next." With a little guidance, Jess got everything lined up and cranked down the bolts. Once the task had been completed, Reginald looked over at the sheet of copper that he would have to bend and shape to make a good boiler. That would have to wait until they reached a good stopping point. If they were lucky, the boiler would hold pressure enough to turn the motor even going up the steepest mountain pass. It would be slow going, even with the engine, but it would still be faster than a single horse dragging them along. He didn't want to at first, but putting his head down on one of the suitcases, he fell fast asleep. He woke up when the cart took a violent bump.
"That wasn't me," Jax yelled. "The stupid horse is going all wild on me."
The redness in Jax's eyes told a different story. The boy had fallen asleep at the reins.
"I'll take over for a bit. I might have more control over this beast. We'll stop for dinner in the night just ahead. We'll have some work to do once we stop, so why don't you take a chance to get a little sleep?"
The two traded places while Jess snored loudly. If anything, the boy's snoring would keep Reginald awake. Jax took up Reginald's spot in the bed of the cart and was back to sleep. It was possible the boy wouldn't even remember the sudden bump. About 3 hours before sundown, Reginald stopped the cart. They hadn't passed any trace of wildlife or natives, not even any giants. The plains stretched out before them. In another 3 or 4 days, they'd reach the base of the mountains. Then their trip would get interesting. He just hoped the engine would handle the stress of going uphill to get them to Sacramento ahead of the Chamskys. Which way had they taken? What means of transportation would they take? If he'd secured an airship, he could travel all day and all night and be there long before he and the boys could make it. But the skies remained clear and open, so he'd have to rule out that option. Most likely the two of them had gotten a horse, or horses, and a cart, and would slowly plod their way around the southern end of the Rocky Mountains. It didn't matter. The two hadn't taken to the skies yet, and that's all that mattered. With Jess's help, Jack still hadn't woken up, they built a fire, set up tents, and began cutting the shape for the boiler. With each cut, Reginald had a sinking feeling he'd forgotten something. He'd stopped and looked out across the darkening plain.
So stupid. "What's that?" Jess asked, looking up from the sheet he held. "Fuel. Wood. Coal. Water. I can build this engine. It'll be small but powerful. It won't run without wood or coal, and the boiler won't turn without steam. And for that we need water. In my idiotic haste, I forgot. We'll need to keep our eyes peeled for anything we can use."
"There's not much out here." "What about that?" Jess pointed to a small copse of trees in the distance.
Brettel shook his head. "We don't even have anything to cut down a tree with."
"What about this?"
Jess held up a scrap of sheet metal.
"We could cut teeth in this, fashion some handles from branches, and have a saw."
"Hmm. Interesting. Crude, but effective. I think that just might work. Put that aside. We'll need to get the rest of this together first. We'll camp here for a couple of days until we get the rest of this together and the wheels of the cart changed over. We can still make this work."
"Good job, son."
Jess smiled and shrugged. Hot water came from the boiler. Rags came from their luggage. Grunts and groans came from Atham. It didn't matter how long she had to work on his shoulder. She would make it right. Her father had lit a fire and made dinner, but she couldn't eat. Not while Atham lay on his side, one hand still in the water, and suffered. How could she enjoy a meal when the one she'd let down lay on the ground, most likely dying? She wanted to cry, but no tears came. She woke late in the evening with a blanket over her. She could feel Atham's warmth and breathing on her back. He still lived. He quieted down, taking slower and deeper breaths. He had to get better. He would get better. She would see to it. Laying by the fire, her father snored softly. She could see a pan with something in it. It was food, and she could feel the pangs in her stomach. She started to sneak away from Atham, but stopped when his breathing changed. She had to move quickly when the giant rolled over and lay on his back. A wince, and he rolled back onto his side.
"Honey," her father motioned to her to come near the fire. "Best leave him be. That wound looks bad. You need to steel yourself for the worst, I'm afraid."
"He'll live. He's strong. You barely know him. You tried to help him, but something bad was going to happen sooner or later. I'm sorry it happened while you were around, but I don't think there's anything we can do for him. Please, eat something and get some sleep. We'll sort this all out in the morning."
She ate, but didn't taste whatever it was her father had cooked. She slept, but it came in fits and starts, and she woke several times to make sure Atham was still there. She dreamed, but the images were a blur and voices muffled. She wanted to go back to New York. She wanted to go home. She wanted none of this to have happened. Her eyes snapped open. Atham had gotten up. He had gotten up the last time she fell asleep. How long had she been out? Where had he gone? Should she wake her father? They could go look for him. No. This was a problem she'd brought on the two of them. She would deal with it. Standing and looking down at her father and knowing he needed sleep if he was going to drive the horse again all day. The stream ran in front of them, and the ground was too firm to find any footprints. Even standing atop a large rock, she couldn't see where the giant had gotten off to. Maybe he awoke, and being delirious, continued to wander further to the west. What if he had gotten turned around and went the wrong way? What if he headed back towards St. Louis? He could be killed. "Father, Atham is gone." She shook him awake. Cecil pulled his glasses out of his pocket and looked to where the giant had been. "Any sign of where he's gotten off to?"
"I already looked." It was difficult to control the emotion in her voice. "Honey, it'll be all right. I'm sure if he was able to get up, then he'll be fine. He probably didn't want to inconvenience us any more. Perhaps someday we'll come across his path again."
They took their time to clean up the camp, neither saying anything. Once all their gear had been loaded into the back of the horse, and the rags she'd used cleaned as best they could, they got back onto the platform. Her father had loaded a few of the coal logs into the horse and started pulling levers. The platform rose, and standing at the front of the horse was Atham, without his shirt on, and part of some animal slung over his good shoulder.
"Atham!"
Abigail pounded on her father's shoulder and motioned for him to put the platform down. He looked from her, to Atham, to the controls. It took several tries, but he finally managed to lower the horse back down. She ran around and stood in front of the giant.
"I'm glad to see you are well. I feared my brothers might have done something rash and perhaps caused some people some harm."
"You're all right?" she asked.
"No, not by a long shot. I will take time to heal, just like anyone. I had been in search of herbs that grow around here." He turned and showed her his shoulder. He'd packed it with a green poultice. "This will draw out the infection and help the healing."
"I didn't know what to do."
Atham dropped the animal section, a buffalo leg, to the ground.
You did well. If you hadn't happened by me, I'm not sure I would have been able to do any more. While I was looking for herbs, I found some wolves having breakfast. I absconded as much as I dared take from them. I hope this will help you.
Oh, we have more than we need, but that'll be a very nice addition.
I will trouble you no further.
Atham turned and started to leave.
Wait!
The giant stopped and looked over his shoulder.
Father, is there any reason Atham cannot accompany us?
She almost laughed as he blanched and looked as if he'd been struck. Atham made no motion to turn around.
Please, Father, you said you might be wrong. Now's the time to prove what you said. I know I'm right.
But, honey, you don't understand.
I do understand. I understand a lot. I know that we're not going to let him walk around with a wounded shoulder. Anything could happen if he just goes walking off now. How's he going to defend himself?
He's a giant. He could... Well, he could... Maybe if he...
Abigail spun around. Come on, there's plenty of room on the platform. You can stay and travel with us while your arm heals.
Atham smiled and heaved a heavy sigh. He picked up the buffalo leg, wrapped it in a shirt, and placed it with the rest of their supplies.
She hopped on the platform and kissed her father on the forehead. Thank you, and don't worry, I'm sure he'll come in handy.
Yes, but where shall I do my drawings?
For once you can put away your drawings and enjoy the scenery and the company.
He looked pained. He moved aside to allow Atham to sit on the platform.
The moment I feel like I'm in the way, I will remove myself from your presence. I have caused the two of you enough trouble. The least I can do is uphold my part.
Abigail smiled. Her father nodded. Levers were pulled, knobs turned, and the platform, a little slower than before, rose with the horse. After a few more pushes, pulls, turns, and twists, the horse began its march toward the southwest. Her father looked at the map and tried to plot their position. He looked at the sky. He looked to the west. He tossed the map over his shoulder.
Atham caught the map.
We're about 200 miles from Texas. I'm not sure when you left St. Louis, but I'd say you've been making pretty good time.
I shall wait here. Atham's arm had healed well in the past several days. They all stood on the ground next to the horse, looking at a fort off in the distance. The American flag flew proudly from behind its walls. Several men in deep blue uniforms unloaded a caravan of supplies.
We'll need to stop here for a couple of days. Will you be all right?
Abigail's father had warmed up a little to the idea of Atham with them, and she was surprised he showed concern.
I've been out this way before. I will circle around the fort and meet you on the other side.
What if you miss us? Abigail asked. She didn't like the thought of the giant alone and still not fully healed.
I know how to avoid soldiers out here. Please. Before they begin to wonder why you're just standing on this hill and not approaching the fort, you'd better go. If you can, see if you can purchase or trade for a tent.
What do we need a tent for?
Atham laughed, as did his father. She felt silly. Of course, that's the only thing that would provide enough material for him to make a new shirt out of. He'd been exposed to the elements while his shoulder healed. She had just assumed he didn't mind not being covered up.
We'll find you something. Don't worry about that. Just take care.
Thank you, Mr. Chomsky. I will.
Please, call me Cecil.
Atham, who'd been sitting and talking to them, took care to walk away so the horse was between him and the fort until he disappeared behind another hill.
Father, we will find him again, won't we?
As loud as the horse is, I don't think he'll have any trouble finding us. Come on, it's getting a bit warm out here. Let's go to the fort and see what we can accomplish while we're here.
Her father navigated them down to the fort and stopped about 200 feet out. He lowered down the horse and turned everything off.
That's some contraption you got there. I'm Captain Gus Harrington. Where are you coming from?
The soldier addressing them had a broad-brimmed hat with gold decoration adorning it. He also had a gold brocade over his right shoulder. His face had seen far too much sun, and his blonde mustache was nearly as white as his long hair.
Hello, Captain Harrington. We're coming in from St. Louis. We're on our way to California.
Her father shook the captain's hands.
Seems like you're halfway there.
The man spit a black slobber onto the ground.
I'm guessing you'll need some lodging for the night. Maybe two?
Two would be preferable if you'll have us. If not, we can just get what we need and be on our way.
We don't got much in the way of supplies.
Just got a shipment in, but only about half of what we asked for. Seems some giants are in the area, and made off with a good amount. You're welcome to stay, but that's about all I can offer.
Father, perhaps we should just get what we need and be on our way.
Honey, I need at least one night in a bed. Hopefully we'll be able to find some cushions for those seats as well. And a hot meal we didn't have to kill ourselves would be nice.
The soldier laughed. Getting tired of eating rabbits, are you? Take yourselves in. Lunch is about to be served. It's buffalo stew and a fresh hot batch of biscuits.
They both looked at each other. They'd been eating nothing but buffalo for the past couple of days. They had wanted to eat the meat Atham had gotten before it went bad. Now it seemed they'd be having buffalo once again. They were allowed inside the fort. Soldiers watched them as they went inside the mess hall, accompanied by Captain Harrington. In no time they were sitting at a table with bowls of steaming stew and hot biscuits. It might have been buffalo, but it didn't taste anything like the unseasoned meat they'd been eating the past couple of days.
"So what brings you out this way? You look more like city folk than country folk, and you sure don't look like settlers."
Captain Harrington set his hat on the table.
"I work for Huntington Enterprises."
"Of the big four? Shouldn't you be much farther north?"
"Well, we're on our way to California. I'm not working on the railroad. I'll be helping with the gold mining operation there."
"Gold mining? Aren't you a little late to be a 49er?
Her father laughed.
"That's just it. All the easy gold has been gotten. I'm going out there to build something to get the harder to get at gold."
Her father laughed, and the captain talked for some time about gold mining, railroads, some travel hazards they might run into along the way. It was nice to see him back in his element. She knew if someone handed him a pencil, he'd draw a sketch of what he planned to build, but as it was, he just used his hands and made grand motions. Gunshots stopped the conversation. It didn't sound like anyone fighting, because cheers rose up from outside.
"What's all that about?" her father asked.
"I think we should go outside and see." Captain Harrington stood and walked outside. Several men on horseback ran through the front gate, dragging something behind them. They cheered and fired several more shots into the air.
"Well, it looks like I was right after all," the captain said, putting on his hat.
"Right about what?" Abigail asked.
"I saw you when that monstrosity rode up. Could have sworn I saw three people there next to that monstrosity you rode in on. Told my men I'd get you inside and they can go see who that third person was."
Abigail's blood ran cold. She saw Atham, tied up and bloodier than ever from being dragged back to the fort.
"He put up a hell of a fight, but we took him down just like you said."
One of the soldiers, probably not much older than Abigail, hopped down from his horse and went over to kick Atham.
"I told you some of these giants ain't that tough."
"Get away from him," Abigail shouted.
"Oh, don't worry, little miss. You'll be sharing a cell with them. Consorting with giants is a crime out in these parts.
Lock them up.
Lock them all up."
The captain turned and walked away.